Let's go to Jeremiah 35:15 real quick. The principles of God are eternal. Amen? And we have to understand that God does not change. Therefore, the things that He ministers from His Word, they do not change. And we need to take those principles and apply them in our lives, because He says that we need to return to the ancient paths. And that's what we're going to do tonight. Hallelujah. Taking the ancient paths of God and applying them to the 21st century. That is, in fact, the ministry calling of Ascension Ministries is to equip the saints for the new millennium. And I'm not talking about the 21st century of our Gregorian calendar. I'm talking about equipping God's people for the millennial reign of Jesus Christ. Because I'm going to tell you what, folks, that's what I'm shooting for. I'm not shooting for things in this earth and on this plane. I'm shooting for the kingdom of God, the millennial reign of Christ, when He comes and He rules and He reigns on the earth for 1,000 years. God is preparing us. How many of you know we're going to be ruling and reigning with Jesus? Amen? Amen. In other words, we're all in training for reigning. That's what we're doing. We're here for another 1,000 years minimum. Does everybody understand that? We're on the earth. We might take a little short trip and then come back, but we are on the earth for 1,000 years minimum to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are in training for it right now. If we can't get a handle on it now, honey, we're not going to be qualified when He comes. In fact, Jesus isn't coming until we're ready, that spotless bride that is holy and blameless, without spot or without wrinkle. Hallelujah. Let's go to Jeremiah 35. We learned how the people of God, when they walk away from the things of God, especially the Torah, we learned how the Torah last night was simply the teaching and instruction of God, and obedience to the Torah was for what? Sanctification, the blessing. Look at our new banner here tonight. You notice that? You know what that is? The Lord my what? Makadesh. That's sanctifier. I want to tell you what, folks, and I didn't know that was coming, because that's what the message of the prophets is. It's to come and be separate unto God. And that's what we want to minister tonight. So Jeremiah 35. We understand that God did this in the earth. When His people turn around and they walk away from the Lord, who does He send out to get them? He sends the prophets out to get them. Amen? Verse 15 says, also, He's talking to Judah, He's rebuking Judah, and He says, also, I have sent to you all my servants the prophets, sending them again and again and again and again and again and again. Now, I put a few more in there, but that's the implication of this scripture verse. Saying, turn, and that word there is teshuvah. In some of your Bibles it says, return now every man from his evil way and amend your deeds, and do not go after other gods to worship them. Then you shall dwell in the land which I have given to you and to your forefathers, but you have not inclined your ear or listened to me. In other words, God sends the prophets over and over and over and over, and the bottom line in this passage of Scripture is the large majority of God's people don't listen to the instructions of the prophets. And when the prophets come, what do? So you can understand, especially when you're dealing with true and you're dealing with false prophets, or prophets that may not be flowing in the full revelation of what a prophet is supposed to do. That's a good question. I'm so glad you asked. Let's go over to Isaiah. Hallelujah. You guys are right on target, just like last night. You asked all the right questions. Isaiah 55. Everybody say, the Word of God is true.
The Word of God is true.
It never passes away.
Heaven and earth will pass away.
But my Word will never pass away. Hallelujah. Verse 6. Isaiah 55:6, seek the Lord while He may be found, call upon Him while He is near, let the wicked forsake his way. You notice how we're talking about the ways of the wicked versus the way of God. Because the prophets go and they call the people back to the way of God, which is the Torah, and we discussed that in our last meeting. Let the wicked forsake his way, and let the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him, what? Return to the Lord. and he will have compassion on him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. I want to say this to anybody listening here tonight or listening by tape, is that when we fall into sin, what was sin? What did we say sin was last night? New Testament definition? The transgression of the law, the transgression of the Torah is sin. It means to miss the mark. That's what the word sin means. What is the mark? Did we learn last night what the mark was? What is it? Torah is the mark. The Word of God, the teaching and the instruction of God, the very living Word. Who's the living Word? Yeshua. Amen. Yeshua is the living Torah, and that's the mark we're shooting for, and sin is the transgression of the Torah. And so he says, return, return, return. And if we find ourselves in the midst of sin, God says, return, because he will pardon. He will what pardon? He will abundantly pardon. You see, tonight in the praise and the worship, if you don't understand what was going on, is that there was a love song going back and forth between Jesus and his bride. We were ministering to him, and then he came through the psalmist up here, the prophetic psalmist, and then he was ministering to us. And then we ministered back to him, and then he ministered to us. I could have stayed there all night, Apostle Bob. Who wants to listen to me when you can sing and minister to the Lord and have him minister back to you? Amen. Man, I'm the last guy I want to listen to. I'm serious. But God also wants his word preached, because if we don't understand what's going on, we just miss it. And so the whole thing is about being sensitive to the very presence of God, but according to the word, not getting out there all flaky. Amen? That's the key, is that we need to move in the realm of the Spirit, but we need to do it decently and in order and in the spirit in which the Word is written. Kind of like the Constitution and the spirit of the Constitution. You ever hear that? You read the Constitution, a lot of people can interpret it differently, but then they'll say, well, the spirit of the Constitution is this. Well, there is the Word of God that can be interpreted a lot of different ways, but the spirit of the Word of God is what we want to grab a hold of, and that will help us to properly interpret. And there's this love relationship that God is desiring and has always desired with his people. He desires to walk with us in the garden. And last night we discovered that when Adam and Eve turned around and walked away, God couldn't walk with them anymore. In fact, when they wanted a word from the Lord, who did they have to go to? The prophet. In the New Testament, that's not necessarily true, although God sends his prophets, because the birthright of every New Testament believer is that you can hear God for yourself, because he's deposited his spirit in you. But you see, our ears are dull of hearing, and our eyes can't see, and our mind can't comprehend, because we haven't washed it with the pure word of God. We've washed it with doctrine. We've washed it with movements. But God wants to come now, and he wants to wash it with the pure living water of his Torah. And that's what God is doing around the world. He's bringing us back to the ancient paths of his Torah. Hallelujah. And verse 8 says, for my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. Or neither are your ways my ways. And this is the bottom line, is that God right now, and hear me, everybody here, and everybody that listens to this tape, is that God tonight is calling us a people to decide who we are going to serve. Just like Elijah said on Mount Carmel, he said, if God is God, serve him, and if Baal is God, serve him. We've got to decide who we are going to serve, because there is only one true God, and a believer, there is no other God but Jehovah. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, this is the key. Now, a lot of people don't like this, and there are a lot of self-proclaimed prophets out there who are trying to make a name for themselves, that try to function toward this scripture verse, but a true prophet will do exactly what Isaiah 58:1 says, and this has been prophesied over me by our intercessors. Miss Norma gave this word to me some time ago, and whenever I get a word, I kind of put it on the shelf and just wait, and the Lord is bringing it out now. He says, Isaiah 58:1 says, cry loudly and do not hold back, raise your voice like a trumpet and declare to my people their transgressions and to the house of Jacob their sin. What is God calling the prophet to do? God is calling the prophet to go and to minister Torah in a proper understanding in word and in spirit, because what's that going to do ultimately? It's going to reveal where we're missing the Torah. In other words, it reveals our sin. And that's not a bad thing. And it's not designed to bring condemnation on you. It's designed to wake you up, because God wants to bless you. What releases the blessing? Obedience to the Torah. What releases salvation? Faith in what? The blood sacrifice. That's the truth in the Tanakh as well as in the Brit Hadashah, in the New Covenant. It was always faith in the blood sacrifice, whether it was bulls or goats, which was a shadow and a type of Messiah, or whether it's Jesus Christ once and for all. That's how you got saved. And I read three scriptures last night that confirmed that. And there's no place in the scriptures anywhere that ever says obedience to the commandments of God, the Torah of God, ever brought salvation except the blood sacrifice, the law of blood sacrifice. And we read scripture after scripture after scripture, and I just touched the iceberg last night because of time. And folks, I want to tell you, the commandments of God release the blessing. In fact, Deuteronomy 28 says, if you obey my commandments, the blessings are going to what? Overtake us. That way we don't have to be going after the blessing or the prosperity or this or that. We go after the Lord, and everything we need comes after us. And that's a principle that Jesus taught. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. But we're so busy out there seeking the prosperity. Prosperity this, prosperity that, prosperity the other thing. And you want to know what? It ain't working. It ain't working. I know it's not working, because I'm a pastor and I get phone calls that tell me it ain't working. The love of money is the root of all evil, right? If we can't overcome the love of money, I want to tell you what, we're going nowhere in God. I want to tell you what, folks, the love of money is in the church. Jesus said that's going to be one of the telltale signs of the end time church. That's the Laodicean church, who says, I'm rich and I'm wealthy and I have need of nothing. But the truth is, they're poor and blind and wretched and miserable and naked. And I've seen that happen around the world. I minister around the world on the financial crises. They'll get my tape and they listen to it, and they continue to do whatever they're doing, and then a financial system collapses. Then they call me and say, come and save us. Come and help us. It's too late. This financial system is really going the way of Cain. Hallelujah. And that's not a bad thing. That's a good thing, because God is calling a people, a pure and righteous, away unto himself. The prophets come and they expose the errors. They expose the wrong way of doing things. They expose wicked ways by teaching God's covenant. Last night we discovered, here's a scripture verse, Deuteronomy 4, beginning in verse 13. It says, so he declared, talking about God declared to you, the children of Israel, his covenant which he commanded you to perform, that is the Ten Commandments, and he wrote them on two tablets, and the Lord commanded me at that time to what? To teach you statutes and judgments, that you might perform them in the land where you are going to possess it. What is the covenant of God? It's the Ten Commandments. And just to give you an idea how that works, and we're not going to get into all of it tonight, we're only going to touch on it, because I got to leave something for you guys to do as far as your study goes, is the Ten Commandments are the foundational commandments for life. And every other commandment that is given, both in the Old Covenant as well as in the New Covenant, all go back and flow back to those Ten Commandments. And we're going to see a little bit how that works. Well, we already discovered a little bit how that worked last night. Hallelujah. The prophets are the messengers of the covenant. We're going to get into that in a little bit. The prophets come and they teach the Ten Commandments. So you know what I'm going to minister to you tonight? The Ten Commandments. And some of you are going, boring. Who can name the Ten Commandments right now? Anybody? I'll give you a microphone. Don't look on the next page. If we can't name the Ten Commandments, guess what? We need to be studying the Ten Commandments a little bit. Why? Because it's the covenant of God. How are we going to walk in the covenant if we don't even know what the covenant is? And here we are, these, quote, new covenant people who have the Spirit of God. And we're just following the Spirit of the Lord. I want to tell you what, the Spirit of God's never going to flow outside of His covenant, the Ten Commandments. The Holy Spirit will never lead you to lie. How many of you believe that? Let me see your hands. He's never going to lead you to commit adultery. Although some have tried to convince me that that's what God's doing. Well, I just feel like the Lord told me to just, you know, run off with my secretary. Boy, I tell you, that's fivefold ministry time, but then. If all pastors had to do was preach, this would be an easy job, let me tell you. And one of the things we've got to realize is this also, and this is a key, is that when God spoke to Israel, He didn't give the commandments to Moses and send him down, you know, with tablets and so on and so forth like Cecil B. DeMille's. God was speaking directly to the children of Israel. And all you have to do is read Exodus chapter 20 and Hebrews chapter 12, and it says that God spoke to them from heaven, and Moses is talking with the children of Israel down there while God is speaking to them, and you can read that on your own, and that's from verse 18 through about verse 25. But then God spoke all these things, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. You shall have no other gods before me. That's number one. You shall not make for yourselves an idol or any likeness of what is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters underneath the earth. You shall not worship them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children, on the third and the fourth generation, to those who hate me, but showing loving kindness to thousands, to those who love me, and what? Keep my commandments. How do we know if we love the Lord? We what? Keep my commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. Guess what? Jesus is the same God of the Old Testament. Now, I know that that's a shocker to some of you, because what you see is you see God the Father, and you see Jesus, and then you see the Holy Spirit, you know, flying around the room. I mean, those are symbolic things, but that's not how God operates. Shema Israel, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, He is one. Amen. And that's why the Jews look at Christians and teach that God is three persons, and they just go, oh, Yvay, you know, what's going on with these guys? He is one God who has extended Himself to us as three manifestations. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He is one God. And we've got to get a grasp on that. But hear me now. The other side says, well, it's Jesus only. No, it's not. It's God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. If you say God, you're referring to all three. You say Jesus, you're referring to all three. And when you say Ruach HaKodesh, the Holy Spirit, it's in reference to all three. We've got to get a handle on that if we ever want to provoke the Jews to jealousy. Praise the Lord. So here we are. The Lord says that if you worship other gods and if you make idols to those other gods, that is transgressing the Torah. Amen? And He says, I'm going to visit that sin, that iniquity, onto the third and the fourth generations, to all of those that hate me. In other words, when we abandon the Word of God, church, the Scripture says we actually hate God. Now, all of us break the commandments in some form or fashion or another. Does that mean that we, quote, hate God? That's not really what it's saying. If we are out there and we are practicing sin and we are practicing idol worship and so on and so forth as a lifestyle, the answer is yes, we hate the God of heaven and earth. But if we miss it here and we miss it there, but our heart is after the Lord, it's not talking about us. Does everybody understand? Because I don't want to bring any condemnation. I want to give you the balance. It's just like in Luke 14 when the Lord says, if you're going to follow me and you don't hate your parents, you know what I'm talking about? So if you're going to follow me, you've got to hate your parents and your brother and your sister and your spouse and so on and so forth. He's not saying you got to hate them. He's just saying your love for them in comparison to me is on that level. Does everybody understand? Because you can't hate your parents and honor them at the same time. And so what God is saying is, he's saying, if you love me, you're going to obey my commandments. And those who practice this idolatry are people who hate me. And the sins of the fathers are going to be visited upon the children to the third and the fourth generation. This is called the curse of the generations. And the thing we've got to figure out, folks, is that when you break the first and the second commandment, that's the idolatry aspect of things, and it's idolatry that looses the curse of the generations. And also let me say this, every commandment that we might break goes back to, if we lie to our brother, we're breaking the first and the second commandment. Why is that? The reason that is because when we break God's commandment, we set ourselves up as a god, either equal to or above God. And that's what Satan tried to do, and that's what he seduced Adam and Eve into believing. You will be like God. Just take a bite of the fruit from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and you'll be just like him. Yeah, let's do that. He created me, so how can you be like your creator? You can't. Duh. But what they did, the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the boastful pride of life, which is the heart of the love of money, entered them. That lust for material things. That's why the prosperity message in the church has just gone awry. And you want to know what? They're running out of gas. I listen to the prosperity teachers on the television now and the radio and stuff like that, and it's like a broken record. And if it was working, you wouldn't have to beat the thing to death. Does everybody understand? Oh, I can't go there anymore. And I believe in the prosperity of God, but as we obey God, the prosperity and the blessings of the Lord overtake us. Also, as we look at this, God says he's going to visit the sins of the fathers onto the third and the fourth generation. A lot of people, when they see the judgment of God, or they hear about the judgment of God, or God's going to do this bad thing to his people and so on and so forth, they've got this picture of God standing up there with lightning bolts, throwing them down on his people, okay? And that's not, hear me, that is not the picture that this is painting. The picture that we've got to see when God says, I'm going to visit, or I'm going to bring this upon them, and so on and so forth, is that God has very little to do with it. Remember the law of sin and death. On the day that you eat of that tree, thou shalt surely die. And as long as Adam and Eve ate of all the trees of the garden except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, the life of God was flowing. Amen? What loosed death in them? Was it God, or was it their actions that violated the principles of God? It was their actions. And you see, the problem we're in right now, especially in today's society, is that we blame everybody else for our problems. All you got to do is get in deliverance ministry. It's everybody else's fault. I'm going to speak straight to you. The curse of the generations can only stay with you if you walk in the curse. If you walk in the same sin that your fathers walked in. And God has come in Jesus Christ and died on his cross and rose from the dead and conquered sin in the flesh and gave you the power of the Holy Spirit to say no. Now, there is a time that you might have to work into that, and that's what ministries like Miss Pat's is for, to help you understand. But at some point in time, you have to say, no, devil, I'm not going to take it anymore. Amen. And I'm going to trust the Lord, and I am going to walk in his ways. And if I draw nigh unto God by obeying him, the devil, I'm resisting you by drawing nigh unto God, and the devil's got to flee. Now, Dad did some awful things to you. Mom may have even done some awful things to you. And on and on and on, But I want to tell you this, you are not bound by that. And God is saying, hear the word of the Lord. God is saying, that's not going to be an excuse anymore. That's what this message is about. God is done playing church with us too. He is saying, my word is going to manifest in your life quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker and quicker. So get with the program. Because the end of the age is coming. That's the theme of tonight. We are coming to the end of the age when everything in heaven and earth are going to become subject to the Word of God. I just hope I'm ready. Amen? God willing, I'm going to be ready when it comes. That's what my goal is. Lord, I just want to be ready. Whatever it is, Lord, shine the spotlight on it. That's what the Torah does. It's the light of God. Thy word is a lamp unto thy feet and a light unto thy path. Amen? And what the Torah does is the Torah comes in and shines a spotlight on our sin. And the prophets help to illuminate that. That's why I'm here. Hallelujah. Folks, let me tell you this. I'm not preaching down at you or to you. I'm preaching to myself as well. I get revelation when I minister like this. And it's revelation for me. So I'm not judging anybody in here because I'm right in the same boat with you. Amen? How many of you receive that? Praise the Lord. And those of you who know me know that I'm not an arm's length guy. Because you can get right up and talk to me and I'm just a regular guy. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 11, verse 6. And the Lord said to me, proclaim all these words to the cities of Judah and all the streets of Jerusalem, saying, hear the words of this what? Covenant and what? Do them. Hear the words of the covenant, the Ten Commandments, and do them. For I solemnly warned your fathers in the day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt. I want to make a little caveat here. When it talks about your fathers, it's talking about two groups. There's the fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then there's the fathers who came out of Egypt who were rebellious to God and wandered 40 years in the wilderness. And when you're reading the Word of God, you've got to discern. When he talks about your fathers, you've got to discern which group he's talking about. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, or those who came out of Egypt. Because there's a big difference as far as the heart goes. How many of you know that that's true? Amen? Hallelujah. For I solemnly warned your fathers in that day that I brought them up from the land of Egypt, even to this day, warning persistently, saying, listen to my voice. Yet they did not obey or incline their ear, but walked each one in the stubbornness of his evil heart. Therefore I brought on them all the words of the covenant which I commanded them to do, but they did not. And when the scripture says God brought all the words on the covenant, you've got to understand that part of the covenant of God are the cursings that come as a result of breaking the Torah. You see, God has never broken his covenant with Israel. He has always implemented the fullness of the covenant. And when they turned and they walked away from him, he just said, okay, the words of the covenant in Deuteronomy chapter 28 from 15 on, I release those on Israel. That's what he does. In fact, folks, I want to tell you this, is that God in his mercy is holding back so much judgment that we are worthy of receiving. Because of our sin. And so instead of being all upset at God about maybe judgment coming, we need to be praising him, saying, oh, Jesus, thank you for holding it back. Because I want to tell you this, Ananias and Sapphira didn't really do all that much of a bad thing. They just lied about how much money they were going to give. Oh, boy. They just broke the commandment, thou shalt not lie. I mean, they could have done anything that they wanted to with that. But they said they were going to give the money, and they didn't give all the money. And God said, okay, and all the Lord did, what's the wages of sin? Death. And all the Lord did was he just stepped back, and he let the results of their actions, he just lifted his hand of protection away, and they died as a result of their own actions. Now, I know that there are some in here that are going, man, there's no way. God can't do that. Well, praise God. Let's take a look. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 2. I'll tell you, Jeremiah is one of the greatest prophets that helps us to understand the mechanics of how God's word works with us and how we're supposed to respond and what's going to happen based on how we respond to the word of God. Verse 17, it says, God is rebuking Judah's apostasy. And this is just right before Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon comes and takes all Judah and all Israel back to Babylon for 70-year captivity that Jeremiah prophesied because of their sin. And he says this, verse 17, "Have you not done this to yourself by your forsaking the Lord your God when he led you in the way? But now, what are you doing on the road to Egypt to drink the waters of the Nile? Or what are you doing on the road to Assyria to drink the waters of the Euphrates?" Get a hold of this. Your own wickedness will correct you, and your own apostasies will reprove you. Does everybody understand that? And you say, "Oh, you're just putting a guilt trip on me, and there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." Yeah, that's right. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And if you're in sin, honey, you ain't in Christ. You may be born again and your spirit is in Christ, but honey, you're standing outside of Christ as far as your character and your demeanor and your nature and so on and so forth. And Jesus came to condemn sin where? In the flesh. So honey, when you're in the flesh, the Word of God, the Torah, condemns that sin in your flesh. Now I know that that just rubs everybody raw in here, or most people. And I know that that just goes against so much theology. How many of you know you can be saved, but God come and condemn the sin in your flesh? He can, he does. That's why some of us who are in sin feel so rotten. It's because Jesus Christ is condemning that sin in your flesh. He's not condemning you. He's condemning the sin that's in your flesh that you're doing. But because it's connected to you, guess what? You feel condemned. See, that's why when people really come into the fullness of the Word of God and they start to obey, nobody can put a guilt trip on them. How many of you realize that? If I know what the things of God are, the ways of God are, and I'm walking in His ways, somebody comes against me, I just say, "Well, you know, praise God, you know, bless you, brother. You know, I know you're trying," and you know, I mean, that's the way I am. How many of you know with my kind of ministry, I got to know whether I'm doing God's will or not. And I'm not here boasting because I'm still working on Norm France. But I've gotten to a point now where God is at least releasing me to begin to teach some of this stuff. And with y'all's prayers and help and so on and so forth, I'll be able to help us all as in the prophetic ministry that God has called me to. Because see, my goal is to raise you up. In fact, my whole goal is to raise you up and push you up and over and make you better than I ever thought of being. Because that's what this generation is to do to the next generation of people. Called discipleship. I don't care if you got the lights out on the front instead of me. I don't care. My only goal is to build the kingdom of God, and the kingdom of God is in you because it's written on your hearts. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 4. Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 16, it says, "Report it to the nations now." When? Now. I believe God is saying, report this to the nations. "Report it to the nations now. Proclaim over Jerusalem. Besiegers come from a far country and lift their voice against the cities of Judah. Like watchmen of a field, they are against her round about because she has rebelled against me, declares the Lord." If Judah had not rebelled against God, would Nebuchadnezzar have come in and taken Judah captive? Absolutely not. Why? Because when we are obedient, what comes? The blessings. When we're disobedient, what comes? The cursings. The result of sin is to be unsanctified outside the sanctification of God. You're outside of this banner right here. Does that make sense to anybody? Are we getting past some of this hyper faith stuff? How many of you know that life is not a confession? It's not. Prosperity is not a confession. Healing is not a confession. Healing is believing. And believing means you're doing something. This is the key, verse 18. "Your ways and your deeds have brought these things to you. This is your evil. How bitter, how it has touched your what? Heart." Remember, we've been talking about the heart? Because you see, God is trying to write His Torah where? In the new covenant? It's on our hearts. But you see, the thing is that there's still evil in our hearts. And what we do is when we get to a passage of Scripture and we read it and it says, "Thou shalt not," we say, "Well, that's the Old Testament." And the reason we don't want to obey God is because it's in our heart to do that thing. And in doing that, we have established ourselves equal with God. We are a God unto ourselves. And whatever it is that we want to do becomes the idol. And God says, I'm going to visit that iniquity upon the generations to the third and fourth generations. Ooh, dads, listen to me. How your kids go through, especially their early times, is so important, and it's predicated. You are the numero uno person that's going to speak into their lives. You are the high priest and the prophet of your home. And I want to tell you what, those children are your responsibility until they come to the age of accountability. And your sin is going to be visited upon them. So I want to tell you as gently as I can, stop it. If you don't know what God's Word says about something, get in the Word and find out. Call Apostle Bob. Call Pastor Bob. You got two of them up here. They both know the Word of God. Or buy a book and read about it. God is calling us a holy people that are created after His nature and character. And that's what the Torah reveals, is His nature and character. Thou shalt not have any other gods and no idols. That's the first thing. Hallelujah. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 20. We're going to finish the rest of those commandments. Commandment number 3, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not leave him unpunished who takes his name in vain. In other words, when we take God's name in vain, guess what? He says he won't leave them unpunished. That doesn't mean he's going to punish them. That means he's going to pull back his hand of restraint, and the curse that's a result of the sin will come on you. He will not leave us unpunished. And you say, oh, you're just trying to put a scare me. Well, if the fear of God isn't in you, it should be. That's the big problem in the church. There's no fear of God. There's no fear of judgment that's going to come. He goes on, he says, remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. That's number 4. Now, it's just not a day off. It's a day that we keep holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall not do any work, you or your sons or your daughters, your male, your female servant, or your cattle, or your sojourning, who stays with you. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day, and he made it holy. And I want to tell you this. The reason why the Ten Commandments are not allowed posted in the public schools is because of the first 4 commandments. Does everybody understand? Because this is the Lord God Jehovah. And because our secular world has moved so far away from the foundations of this country and what they were founded on, and that was a biblical Judeo-Christian heritage, that the reason they won't let those Ten Commandments up there is because, number 1, they don't want you worshiping Jehovah. And the schools are an idol in the world. Themselves, they're an idol. They don't mind taking the Lord's name in vain. All you have to do is listen to some of the tapes of Bill and Hillary Clinton. And as far as the Sabbath goes, everybody's worshiping on the 8th day Sabbath, when the Sabbath here very clearly says it's a 7th day Sabbath, and we're going to deal with that issue tomorrow. Hallelujah. I want to tell you, God is taking us back to the ancient paths, and there is a remnant of people that he's raising up, and he is writing his Torah on their hearts. Verse 12, honor your father and your mother, that your days may be prolonged in the land which the Lord your God gives you. In other words, kids, listen up. How many of you want your days prolonged? Then it says, honor your mother and your father. You don't always have to agree with them, but we need to honor them. Then it says, you shall not murder. Murder is not kill. Murder is murder. It's a premeditated taking of a life. Do not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkeys or anything that belongs to your neighbor or his ministry. I remember when I first got born again, I knew that God had called me into ministry, but I had no idea what my ministry was. So I used to look after other men that I saw ministering and say, Lord, I want a ministry like that. I used to covet the ministry. I was just young in the Lord. I didn't know any better. I just wanted to go after God. And God corrected me after a period of time. And you want to know what? In his grace and his mercy, he held back the judgment of my covetousness. Aren't you glad? See, God is a merciful God. And people think, well, if God releases judgment, then he's just this horrible guy. No, he's been holding back judgment for such a long time. I know his arm's getting tired. All of these commandments, all of these Ten Commandments, they spread all the way into all of the other commandments. There's 613 total commandments. There's actually more than that, but there's 613 that we need to deal with today. Now, we're not going to deal with all 613 today, okay? I didn't mean it that way. You know what I meant. It's because some of you were looking like, oh, we'll be here all night. Remember, in fact, if you read verse 18 through verse 22, and you can do that on your own, you'll see that God, when he spoke to Israel, he spoke directly to the children of Israel. And so what happens is God gives the Ten Commandments to Israel. They say, no, Moses, you speak to us. They said, we don't want to hear the voice of God. So God said, okay, Moses, come on up here. And then Moses, for 40 days, God gave Moses the rest of the commandments and taught him and showed it to him. And then he taught Israel how to apply the Ten Commandments to every other area of life. For example, let's go to Deuteronomy 18. Deuteronomy 18, beginning in verse 10, it says, there shall not be found among you anyone that makes his son or his daughter to pass through the fire, or that useth divination, or an observer of times, or an enchanter, or a witch, or a charmer, or a consulter with familiar spirits, or a wizard, or a necromancer. Who knows what a necromancer is? Calling up the dead. That's what necromancy is. It's calling up the dead, and they use a familiar spirit. That's what Saul did with the witch of Endor. He went down to a woman who had a familiar spirit. He wasn't seeking after Samuel. He was seeking after a familiar spirit that would tell him what was going on that was familiar with Samuel. There is no calling up from the dead. Does everybody understand that? There's no calling up from the dead. That was a familiar spirit that came looking like Samuel. You can watch this one guy crossing over with whatever his name is. Can't watch it on TV. It's just a demonic form of prophetic ministry. I call it pathetic ministry because that's what it is. And they can read your mail because they're tapped into a spirit who's familiar with your situation. And that spirit just whispers in his ears what's going on, and he'll read your mail about Uncle Ned and about Aunt Bessie and about that $500,000 that you didn't pay taxes on and all that kind of stuff. And everybody goes, ooh, wow, you know, he's really powerful. This must be God. It's supernatural, but it's demonic. And Christians are dialing up the 1-800 psychic to try and get a handle on the future instead of going to the Lord of the prophetic word and saying, God, show me. And they say, it's okay. And then when you read this scripture, verse 12, for all that do these things are an abomination unto the Lord, and because of these abominations, the Lord thy God doth drive them out before you. And there's so many people that say, well, you know, that's not valid for today because that's the Old Testament. How many of you know that there are people that do that because they're looking and they're watching their horoscopes? If that's not valid, then, well, what the heck? Let's just... Because everybody's going... They're looking for the fire to come down. Every time we read the scriptures and we say, oh, that's not valid because it's the Old Testament, you might as well just rip the page out. And God's fury is full. And he's coming to the house of the Lord because judgment begins in the house of the Lord first. Everybody's saying, oh, judge the earth and judge the world system. And God is shaking the world system, but he's not going to judge the world system as long as the church is living like the world. That's the word of the Lord for this day and for this hour. And so what commandment for those who go after necromancy and all of the things we just listed to the witchcraft, what commandments are being broke? That goes back to the Ten Commandments. What commandments? The first one and the second one, no other gods and no idols. There's another one that's not listed. Think about it. Which one? How about number 9? Thou shalt not lie. Because, see, that's a lying spirit. And when we go and we get caught up in it, guess what? We're just caught right up in that same old lying spirit. And depending on circumstances and situations, there could be others that we're breaking. But we know those three for sure. Let's go over to Jeremiah chapter 10. See, this is the spirit of Balaam that says, hey, it's okay. As long as you're born again, then you don't have to live according to God's laws. And you shouldn't expect anything bad to happen to you because God just loves you too much and he wouldn't let anything bad happen to you. He died on Calvary's cross so that you could go and live a sinful life because he loves you. I mean, I've heard some preachers basically teach that. The sloppy agape gospel, the days are over. God is coming with fire coming out of his nostrils to judge sin. Jeremiah chapter 10. This is the word of the Lord. He says, hear ye the word of the Lord, which the Lord speaks unto you, O house of Israel. Thus says the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen. That's also goyim, the nations. And be not dismayed at the signs of the heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth the tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold, and they fasten it with nails and with hammer, that it move not. What's that talking about? What kind of tree is that? Say it. Christmas tree. The scripture calls it over in Jeremiah 2, every green tree. He says you bring your gifts and put it under every green tree. It was a pagan practice where they bowed down to the sun god. We've got an article on it. The mystery of Christmas is the mystery of Babylon in disguise. Oh, but Pastor Norm, it's our tradition. I mean, having a Christmas tree is my tradition. God can't mean in there, oh, yo, that's the Old Testament. That's no good for today. Well, okay. If you don't believe that that word's for today, come on up here, bring your Bible. I want to tear the page out. Do you see how we're destroying the law? See, because when we say that, what we're doing is we're destroying the law. We are nullifying the word of God that is forever. How long's forever?
Forever.
Forever. Say, well, that is the Old Testament. All right, well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Ooh, let's get into the Brit Hadashah. Let's see if the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant, lines up with the Torah. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. It is reported commonly that there is fornication among you, and such fornication as is not so much as named among the Gentiles, that one should have his father's wife. And ye are puffed up, and have not... The guy's got his dad's wife, his stepmother. That's who it's talking about. It could be talking about his real mother, okay, if you want to get real technical. But let's just say it's not quite that bad yet, it's his stepmother. The guy is sleeping with his stepmother. You see that on the soap operas all the time. And ye are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he that hath done this deed might be taken away from among you. In other words, they were still fellowshipping with the guy. Oh, come on in, brother. God loves you. You're under the blood. It's okay. I mean, that's what they were doing. That's what Paul is talking about here. For I verily, as absent in the body, but present in the spirit, have judged already. Everybody say, judged already.
Judged already.
Who's judged? Paul is judged. Whew. Paul is an apostle who was a prophet before he became an apostle. Acts chapter 13, verse 1 through 3. For I have judged already, as though I were present concerning him that hath so done this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you are gathered together, and my spirit with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, Paul is pronouncing in his apostolic prophetic ministry, he is calling judgment down on this guy to kill him. God, release your hand of mercy and take the guy home, because if he continues in that, he's going to go beyond that place of salvation and he will lose his salvation. Once saved, always saved is not biblical. I don't want to discuss it tonight. We'll do it some other time. Where does Paul get that authority? Is this something he just pulled out of the air? No. Let's go back to Leviticus 18. Understand, Jesus and Paul and all the other apostles, they did not minister a new covenant. They ministered what would be better termed a renewed covenant. Leviticus 18. Let's go to verse 5. Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall be saved? That's right. So you don't keep the commandments, and I got to burn this in you. You don't keep the commandments in order to be saved. You keep the commandments in order to what? Live. And it's talking about living in the kingdom of God. Living the kingdom kind of life. That's what it means. And he shall live in them. I am the Lord. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness. I am the Lord. And that is a Hebrew term. Uncovering nakedness means to have a sexual act. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shall thou not uncover. She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. The nakedness of thy father's wife shall thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness. That's the stepmother. And what happens is, if an individual sleeps or has sex with, fornicates with his stepmother, he is not only uncovering her nakedness, but because she's married to his father, he is uncovering his nakedness as well. And Paul draws on that. How many of you know and realize that having sexual relationships with blood relatives is not kosher? I mean, it's not. And you want to know what? The reason it's not is because God's Torah says it's not. In fact, it's written into the very laws of the land. Oh, but Norm, that's the Old Testament. That's the Old Covenant. In fact, and the word of the Lord is that my church is doing this every single day. When they say we are not bound by the Torah, the word of the Lord says, the Torah is my everlasting word, and heaven and earth will pass away before anything, one jot or one tittle, passes away from my law. Until all is fulfilled. We're going to learn about that tomorrow, and you're going to see exactly how to apply it in your life to where you are set free in Jesus and set free from sin and learn how to apply Torah in your life. I'm ministering a message of judgment. How many of you understand that? And I just want to say this, and I'm not saying this boasting. This is not Norm Franz ministering. This is the word of the Lord God Jehovah. Because now is the time, we are at the end of the age, and God is done messing around, and he's coming to the church, and he's going to deal with her according to his word. Get ready! Get ready! This is a warning from the Lord. Let's go to Malachi chapter 3. It isn't a threat. It is the word of the Lord. Malachi chapter 3, beginning in verse 1. The prophets are the messengers of the covenant. Behold, I am going to send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me, and the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, and the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. What we've got here, there is a principle. Bob and I were talking about this earlier tonight, just before we came. There is a principle operation of God in how he works. First comes order. Then comes glory, then comes judgment. And that's what we're going to see right here in Malachi. When it says that he, the messenger, is going to come and clear and prepare the way, that is the messenger of God who comes to minister the covenant, the Ten Commandments, in order to set order in the house. Because the house is out of order because it doesn't believe in the commandments of God. It says that they believe, they confess it, but you want to know what? I want to see what you're doing. That's the difference between the Hebrew and the Greek mentality. The Greeks just, you know, everything is esoteric and, oh, yes, and we're doing this and, oh, yes, and we're doing that and God's going to do this and God's going to do that. And the Hebrew says, well, I want to see your lifestyle. I want to see if you really believe, because if you really believe in this, you're going to do according to the manual. Does everybody understand? He goes on, verse 2. But who can endure the day of his coming And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap. I want you to know the fire of God is here tonight. He's speaking to us and he's chipping away those things in our heart. He's trying to circumcise our hearts. That's why we had so much praise and worship, because God wanted to prepare our hearts for this message tonight. He is like a refiner's fire and like fuller's soap, and he will sit as a smelter and a purifier of silver, and he will purify the sons of Levi and refine them like gold and silver, so that they may present to the Lord offerings in righteousness. Oh, here goes the prosperity message again. Hear the word of the Lord. It's just a prophetic night. I can't help it. God is having me release things. So many people, and I'm not going to say all, but there are so many people who listen to the prosperity teachers. And I heard one guy, I heard him say it, you send my ministry $1,000, God's going to get you out of debt. I'm telling you, man, I wanted to throw something through that television set, and if it had been my television set instead of somebody else's, I probably would have done it. I want to tell you how you're going to get out of debt, honey. Stop spending more than you make. Get a hold of your flesh. Repent. That's how you're going to get out of debt. Everybody's looking for a quick fix. There's another seminar here in town this week on how to get out of debt. I know the individual putting that on, and he's in debt up to here. I know it personally. He's a hypocrite. And I've told him so. But you know why they're running it? It's because it has to do with money. We're going to find out how to get out of debt. We're going to find out how to get rich. And I guarantee you, part of it is going to be, if you sow into my ministry, God's going to get you out of debt. That's going to be part of it. Because that's been the characteristic of his ministry. And I know him personally, intimately. He used to be on his board. And he used to be on mine. So I gave him the left foot of fellowship. And I want to tell you what, I don't care if he's my friend or not. You know why? Because I'm friends with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm only interested in what he says. I want to tell you this, I didn't want to come tonight and minister this message. It's a horrible message. This is the hardest message that I've ever had to do. And the reason is because God is releasing things right now in this message. The word of the Lord is going forth. And it's not going to be good for a lot of people. You see, in offerings and righteousness, if we give an offering to a ministry that's saying, if you send in money, God's going to bless you 30, 60, and 100 fold. If we give for that reason, it is an unrighteous offering. We give because God says to give. It is Balaam. It's ancient Babylon. It's Kabbalah. And then just confess it. That's Kabbalah 101. It is, I'm telling you. And those of you who study Kabbalah, if you have repented and come out of it, you know what I'm saying is true. It's mysticism, Babylonian mysticism. Because the Word of God says, if you want to prosper, you obey my word, and the blessings of the Lord will overtake you. Prosperity is not a confession. It's an action. Hallelujah. And I know that all you prosperity people, if there's any in here left, verse 4, then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old. What are we restoring? The ancient paths. When is this going to be? When the refining fire of God comes in and he purges the sons of Levi so that they can give offerings in righteousness. I would rather have $100 in a righteous offering than $100,000 in an unrighteous offering. I'm telling you, I would. We're so close to the end of this whole thing. The money isn't the issue. I love Apostle Bob, the way he approaches whosoever. And you know what we're looking for? We're just looking for enough money to cover the bills and then to provide some income for the ministry so we can continue to minister the message. And God is taking me to Asia in April, just before Passover, and I'm set up to go and minister in Malaysia. We've been invited to Vietnam, that hasn't been set up yet. Hong Kong, Indonesia, the Philippines. There's even talk about taking me into China. We've been invited to Thailand. And the Lord has already shown me that he's going to take me to Pakistan and to India. And we also got another invitation on the internet. Where was that? Where are we going? Finland and Sweden. And you know why that is? It's because the word of the Lord is going out and the law of God is being preached. And people want some substance to their walk. Because people are confessing and confessing and confessing and confessing, and nothing's happening. And you know what? People are getting discouraged and they are going to fall away from the Lord. But if we do the Word of God, I want to tell you what, God's life manifests in our life. And there's no manipulation for the offering. I love your offerings, Pastor Bob. He's just straight. I'm not here to condemn anybody. I want to tell you the Lord just has a love for us. But even though we love our children, we have to discipline them, and the discipline of the Lord is coming on the church. It's already being released. Verse 5 says, "Then I will draw near to you for judgment." You see, what happens is that when the order comes, then the glory of God comes. And when the glory of God comes, you know what happens? When the glory of God comes, judgment comes with the glory. You know why the glory of God hasn't come like so many people have asked it to come? Is because if it came in its fullness, most of us would be dead. And so God is releasing a little bit here and a little bit there, and He's bringing more and He's bringing more and He's bringing more, but judgment is coming. We talked about this earlier tonight. And Pastor Bob was sharing, in fact, he was sharing this principle with me, and I'm telling you, folks, it just witnessed because it goes right along with the scripture verse, and we were talking about Henry Gruber. So how many of you know Henry? Well, everybody knows Henry, okay? Henry made a very astute observation. He says, when the glory comes, it doesn't add or subtract, but it multiplies whatever is in your heart. And if there is sin in your heart, when God comes to His temple in His glory, it's going to be multiplied in judgment. But if the heart is circumcised and we're walking in obedience, the multiplication is going to be the blessing. And that is going to be the thing when God comes in His glory that's going to separate the kingdom of God and the kingdoms of this world. Oh, and I can't wait for that day. And I want to be ready. And I want to tell you what, church, you know there's the timing of God, but I feel like we're behind schedule. I feel we're behind schedule. And so God is calling us to return. In fact, let's keep going. Let's keep reading verse 5. "And I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers." Now, we know that sorcery is a sin, don't we? We just read it in Deuteronomy. How many of you know that there's a lot of Christians in the church that are reading their horoscopes every day? They're practicing sorcery. And God says, "I'm going to be a swift witness." They're calling the psychic hotline. They're practicing necromancy and sorcery. God says, "I'm going to be a swift witness. And it ain't going to be the blessings that come." And when the glory of God comes, it's going to be multiplied. Whatever's in their heart, it's going to be multiplied. I agree with what Henry said. "And against the adulterers." Ooh, is adultery one of the Ten Commandments? Sin against the Ten Commandments? Absolutely. Why is He going to judge the adulterers? It's because it's sin. "Well, the blood of Jesus just covers you, brother. It's okay. God forgives you." He does forgive you, but He's going to judge it in your life. He does. That's exactly right. He has to, because His Word says He does. "Those who swear falsely," that's a lying spirit. "And those who oppress the wage earner," that's stealing from them, not paying their wages. "Thou shalt not steal. The widow and the orphan, and those who turn aside the alien, and do not fear Me, says the Lord of hosts. For I, the Lord, do not change. Therefore you, O sons of Jacob, are not consumed." And that's talking about His grace, what I've been talking about. He's been holding that back, and He doesn't change, but He also says that I'm coming to My temple, and when I come to My temple, I'm going to be a swift judge. I'm going to be a witness and a swift witness against sin, because He does not change. "From the days of your fathers," now these are the fathers that came out of Egypt, "from the days of your fathers you have turned aside from My statutes and have not kept them. Return to Me and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts." You know, everybody's going, "Oh, Maranatha, Maranatha, come Lord Jesus." And the Lord's sitting up there going, "Na, na, 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 na." Everybody's waiting for the Lord to return for them, and God's up there saying, "No, return to Me. I'm not coming for you until you're ready. I'm not coming for you. You're a bride. You're a broken down old hag on a stretcher. You're walking in sin. You're still in your work clothes. You're all dirty. And go to Revelation 19. It talks about how the bride makes herself ready. And the clothes, the garments of the bride, can anybody tell me what it is? The righteous acts of the saints. And that's what righteousness is. It's the outflowing of God's righteousness in us, manifest as the righteous acts of God. And the righteous acts of God are doing the commandments of God. Hallelujah. Let's drop down to Malachi 4, verse 16. We're talking about the end of the age. In the book of remembrance, it gets opened. Then those who fear the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord gave attention and heard it, and the book of remembrance was written before them for those who fear the Lord and who esteem His name. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil. The fear of the Lord is to hate sin. Amen? We don't hate God. We love God. And if we love God, what are we going to do? Keep His commandments. Ooh. And by keeping His commandments, you're showing your hatred for sin. Do you see how it all works? Verse 17, and they will be what? Mine. You see, this comes back to the love song that we sang earlier in the praise and the worship. It's a love song. They will be mine. See, this is covenant. And when you come into covenant with somebody, you belong to them and they belong to you. That's what a marriage covenant is all about, husbands and wives. And if one or the other ain't walking in that covenant, guess what? It's not going to work. The one that is can't make it work for the one that isn't. Verse 18, and they will be mine, says the Lord of hosts, verse 17, on the day that I prepare my own possession, and I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him, so you will again, now listen to this, so you will again distinguish between the righteous and the wicked, between one who serves God and one who does not serve God. In other words, remember the Torah? It was about distinguishing the clean and unclean, the holy and the unholy. And what it's saying is, and this is talking about the end of the age, and you'll see that in just a minute. He's talking about at the end of the age, there is going to be a body of people that rise up who are going to again distinguish between righteousness and unrighteousness, the clean and the unclean, the profane and the holy. Verse 1 of chapter 4, Malachi 4:1. For behold, the day is coming, burning like a furnace, and all the arrogant and evildoers will be like chaff, and the day that is coming will set them ablaze, says the Lord of hosts, so that it will leave them neither root nor branch. What's this talking about? It's talking about the day of the Lord. Talking about the second coming of the Lord, when He begins to pour His wrath out on the earth. How many of you got it in your spirit? We aren't very far from that. But for you who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in its wings, and you will go forth and skip about like calves from the stall, and you will tread down the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on the day which I am preparing, says the Lord of hosts. Now this is the key. Remember the Torah of Moses. When are we going to remember the Torah of Moses? In the time of His coming. In other words, we're going to return to the Torah. We're going to return to the Lord. We're going to return and walk in His ways that are outlined in the Torah, and we're going to abandon our wicked ways. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, even the statutes and ordinances which I commanded him at Oreb for all Israel. That's just another word for Sinai. Verse 5, behold, and the word there for behold means it's a mystery. So you can say, behold a mystery. Behold a mystery. I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore the hearts of the fathers to their children and the hearts of the children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. What's the wages of sin? It's death. What releases the curse? The transgression of the Torah. Obedience releases the blessing. Disobedience releases the curse. And so what is this talking about? God says in a nutshell, in the last days, remember my Torah. In fact, I'm going to send Elijah the prophet as a forerunner, and he's going to restore the hearts of the fathers back to the children and the children's hearts back to the fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse. And that's not talking about an apostate dad who went out on a drunken binge for 20 years, come back home and make up with his family. Although we want to believe God for that, amen? The phrase return or restore the hearts of the fathers back to the children is talking about the hearts of Abraham, the hearts of Isaac. This is a Hebrew phrase. You just have to understand the Hebrew culture and the understanding of it. And the heart of Jacob. and their love for Torah. Remember Genesis 26:5. I got it right there on the paper for you. Abraham obeyed me and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my what? My Torah. And that was before the Mosaic Law. You see, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, those fathers are different than the fathers that came out of Egypt that are back over there in chapter 3, verse 7. And so what God is saying is that in the last day, I'm going to send forerunner prophets. It's not the prophet Elijah. It's the forerunner anointing, okay? If you were here when I ministered on the spirit of Elijah, you know what I'm talking about. He's going to send forerunner prophets that are going to come, and they are going to teach the Torah. And in teaching the Torah, it's going to give the people who have an ear to hear what the Spirit of God is saying to the body of God in the last day, the heart of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and their love for Torah. He's going to restore that heart to the children, and as a result of writing it on their hearts are going to be restored to Torah, the hearts of the fathers. Because you see, the children are disobedient. We have gone astray. We're saved by the blood of Jesus, but we are not walking in His ways. And when you go to the book of Revelation, every message to every church goes like this. I love you, you're saved, you're doing a good work, but I have this against you. And one of the big sins of the end time church is a message to the church of Pergamum, and he says, I have this against you. Some of you there hold the teaching of Balaam, who showed Balak how to put a stumbling block in front of Israel. And in like manner, there are also those that teach the teaching of the Nicolaitans. And he says, I am coming, and I am bringing a sword. And the sword is the word of God. The teaching of Balaam and the teaching of the Nicolaitans, all you have to do is study it out. The teaching of Balaam and the teaching of Nicolaitans is this. As long as you're saved by grace through the shed blood of the sacrifice, or in the New Testament, the shed blood of Jesus, then you don't have to worry about obeying the Torah. And God says, I'm sending Elijah the prophet, and he's going to come and he's going to teach the Torah. Everybody say, Norm Franz is not Elijah. Thank you very much. But there is a forerunner anointing that's being poured out on the entire body of Christ. And we're to go forward and minister the Torah. And you say, well, I don't have a pulpit. Yeah, you do. It's your house. It's your home. It's your family. Men, get to study in the Torah and find out what God wants you to do as a man, because it's all in the Scriptures. We just need to learn how to study it. We need to be diligent to study the Word of God and show ourselves approved, because if we don't, when we stand before the Bema Seat, we're going to be ashamed before God. And we're going to miss out on a lot of rewards, although we might be saved. Hallelujah. Let's go to Luke chapter 1. Let's go into the Brit Hadashah, into the New Covenant. Luke chapter 1. This is the forerunner anointing that came on John the Baptist, beginning in verse 15. This is a prophecy that's given concerning John. He says, for he will be great in the sight of the Lord. This is Luke 1:15. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord, and he will drink no wine or liquor, and he will be filled with the Holy Spirit while yet in his mother's womb. And he will turn back many of the sons of Israel to the Lord. How many of you know that the message of the prophet, the forerunner, is to draw back the sons of God back to him? It's a message of return to the Lord. Return to the ways of the Lord. Stop walking in your own wicked ways and return to the ways of the Lord that are laid out in the Torah, the covenant of God, the Ten Commandments, and how they apply in your whole life. That's the message of the prophet. Then he says, in verse 17, and it will be he who goes as a forerunner before him in the spirit and the power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers back to the children. And he quotes Malachi chapter 4 that we just read. But then in the last half of that sentence, he's not quoting the Scriptures. He says, and the disobedient to the attitude of the righteous so as to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. That's confirmation that it's talking about calling the disobedient children back to the ways of God that are written in the Torah. The children are the ones that are coming back to the hearts of the fathers and their love for Torah, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's love for Torah. And you see, what did John do? What was John's message? Repent! Repent! The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Repent! Teshuvah! I can just hear him out there. Teshuvah! Turn around! Stop going your way and go the way of the Lord! And we're going to learn tomorrow of how the law is destroyed and how the law is fulfilled in the new covenant. Because we've been destroying the law. It's laying all over the place. If we don't rip out the whole page, we take our little scissors and we clip out the verses. And the word of the Lord is, church, I've had it. I'm not going to allow it anymore. And I'm going to start to deal with you based on your response and your relationship to my whole word. And that's why we need to learn it and we need to do it. I had a vision. We may not get to the rest of the notes. We'll just have to live with it. I had a vision. I had a vision of the body of Christ climbing the mountain of God. You know, I tell you, sister, I just love your prophetic word when you sing. The mountain of the Lord. See, we're all ascending the mountain of the Lord. That's one of the reasons why we call it Ascension Ministries. Who will ascend the mountain of the Lord? He who has a clean heart and pure hands. I had a vision. The body of Christ was ascending the mountain of God. They were like mountain climbers. They had the ropes and the whole thing, backpacks, etc., etc. And they came up to a little flat spot, a little plateau, and from there on it was like almost a sheer straight up. And they knew that they couldn't make it with the packs because the packs were filled with sin. So there was a remnant that stripped those packs off and started shinning up the mountain. But then the rest of them went around the mountain looking for an easier way up where they didn't have to strip off their sin. They wanted to ascend the mountain while they still had their sin on, their transgression of the Torah. And they went all the way around the mountain and they came back to where they started, and there was another group, another remnant, that realized they weren't going to go until they stripped the sin off. So they stripped the sin off and they started heading up the mountain. But then the majority of them were going around the mountain and around the mountain. And I mean, they went around and it seemed like forever. And what was happening, because they were all still connected with the ropes. I mean, what a tangled mess. And even those that were at the top and that were moving up couldn't move any further because they were all tangled up with those going around the mountain. And they could see the city. They could see the New Jerusalem. They were like, oh, you know, but they were being hung up down here. And they sent down messages and said, here's how you strip your sin off. They were sending down the message of the Torah. But they refused to do it. They even sent messages on how to exactly do it and how to scale that mountain so that they could hurry and catch up. And just when those at the top were just feeling like, oh man, it's never going to happen, this great big hand came down. And it was the scissors and it was the word of God, the sword of the Spirit. And it cut those ropes so that those who wanted to ascend the mountain could ascend, and the rest that went around the mountain went around the mountain. And it has nothing to do with salvation. It has to do with ascending the mountain of God. Because I'm going to tell you what, folks, I'm going to sit down with him on his throne. And if you read the book of Revelation with this understanding, especially the message to the churches, he says, he who overcomes. Overcomes what? Overcomes his sin. The sin of Balaam. The sin of losing your first love. Shema Yisrael. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And if you love me, he says, you'll obey my commandments.